This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington.
Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. Well, I'm doing that thing. That thing that I keep telling you to do. If you can, go and spend some time with your alpacas and sit outside. Well, we've got the most glorious afternoon with sunshine. Now, the sun hasn't been very, very warm. Doesn't mean a lot of it. And it's the angle has just started to shift and we're just getting a bit more... nice. Do you know, today I saw my first primrose, little yellow flowers in the hedgerows, and it was in a particularly sunny spot, afternoon sun, probably it's morning sun as well, actually thinking about it, of a neighbour. I was out this morning, and there it was, primroses. Wow. A little bit early, I did think, but, you know. But the birds have been busy, they've been singing away, and that feels a little bit early as well. And the girls are here grass eating. They're grazing nicely. And it's starting to shift a little. There's a little bit of colour shift in places. The frost's just gone. The snow's just disappeared. I don't think we had much of that. And yeah, but it's kind of... No, sorry. It's not spring. It's a long way from spring. But it's just a beautiful day. And lots of vegetation is growing and lots of birds are being busy and all the rest of it. So it does feel early though. It does feel early. We shall see how things develop over time in the coming days. So one of the things that we've got are the things that we have control over in our life. There are things that we have control over, and there's the rest of the stuff. And the rest of the stuff is really most of the stuff. There's not all that much that we've actually got control over. And alpacas, definitely in the category of something we haven't got control over. Oh, we can manage them. We can do the things that contain them with fences or whatever. But ultimately, no, we're not in control. They are. They weren't there this morning. I thought, oh, I've got a bit of time. That's good. And so I waited slightly. I needed to be going quickly out this morning. I'll tell you why in a minute. And they weren't there. So I thought, okay, I've got a bit of time. So I fiddled doing some bits and pieces in the house, looking out the window. Couldn't see the alpacas at all. Came down. And they were, as soon as I started coming down, I could see where they were. And they weren't far away at all. But they were in the mist. It was a misty morning. That wasn't my excuse of not being able to see them because of the mist. It was just because of where they were. They're just slightly out of sight. So that was, yeah, couldn't control where they were going to be. But they were keen for their breakfast. They came over and they were keen. They wanted their breakfast. So we managed to get that all out and spread out and everybody catered for, which was nice. But yeah, these things that we can control and can't control are... I've been having technical problems been emerging. My laptop keeps turning itself off unexpectedly. I didn't do this. It's just gone to sleep. Nope, it's turned itself off. And it's a bunch of things going on. Well, it needed a new battery anyway. Now, it can be a battery thing. And so I've had the battery replaced. That was yesterday. Backwards and forwards. And it was still turning itself off, even with the new battery. It's settled down and it's charging and it's being used. And the battery, it lasts for hours now, which is great. But it's not... behaving itself, and I have no control over this. I've got expectations. I've got clear expectations that it's going to behave itself. And sorry, it's just turned itself off again. Oh, it's such a nuisance. And there's Jack in the background. And it's a bit of a problem when you can't rely on things to do. If they're totally unpredictable, that's okay. You work with that, but you rely on them being in a particular kind of way and doing particular kind of things, and then suddenly they don't. So It was overheating, was my conclusion. It was certainly running hot, but I think it was overheating and said, oh, too hot, I'm going to close down. So the laptop would turn itself off. So anyway, that's back in the repair shop to get looked at again. The best laid plans. That wasn't in my intention for this week to be sorting these things. I had other things I needed to be doing. No control. But there are things that I can do and I can work around. Now, actually, because most of our life is mostly out of our control, that we have to get good at being able to do the unexpected, dealing with the unexpected, rolling with the punches and coping with crises as they arise. Hopefully most of the time our crises are not enormous and not big, and my heart goes out to those friends of ours, people, connections and people I don't know who are out in Los Angeles surrounded by all these terrible fires and the strong winds fanning, and it's just stirring it all up again currently. This isn't, even though this is something that people deal with, fires, they know happens in the area, these were unexpected in the ferocity and the speed and the amount of houses and dwellings and stuff and buildings that have been lost. I'm not sure in the middle of Los Angeles there were too many alpacas, but I've got friends who were nearby and there was a fire near them. It got blown away by the wind, the opposite direction, but nevertheless. So shout out to Jeremiah and the many people that we don't know. If you're listening, then you're noticed. Hope things work through really quickly to take the crisis out of the situation, but then also the building back again. But all those things that we have to cope with, whether they're dramatic or whether they're just another challenge that wasn't quite as expected, that's the kind of resilience that we need to be able to cope with those things, but also the flexibility that we need to be able to shift, turn on a dime and twist in a different direction. Alpacas do help you do all that. They regularly are bringing new challenges, unexpected challenges, and they're in a different place. They do a different thing. There's the expected and there's the unexpected. I've had to brush stuff off my head a few times. I think they're keen for their food and blocking each other, but I'm in the firing line, so I've been being spat at again. So up the rations where I can, and trying to be sensible with that, so we're not overfeeding, but also making sure that they get enough. Grass, as I understand it, rough rule of thumb is that anything 10 degrees centigrade and lower, so anything 10 degrees beyond, under 10 degrees centigrade, grass isn't growing. It does, marginal. It's going to carry on a little bit. But there's all this chemistry going on, all the photosynthesis, all the internal stuff, the growth. It's just not, it needs the warmth, it needs the sun. That's what is the powerhouse, the engine is driven by the sun. And it makes a difference to us, doesn't it, when we have good weather, no extremes, not too hot, not too sunny, not too dry, not too wet, not too cold. But all those things we have to manage, because we can't control them. There is no way of controlling weather. I know people try now and again. Let's seed this cloud, and I'm not quite sure what they're up to and what impact it's going to have. And there are these other things that are going on that you're never quite sure what the impact's going to be. So things that are coming up, inaugurations and the like. It's just going to mean there are things to be adjusted to and responded to, and there are things that are not under your control, but you still have to be in the midst of it all and work it through. So thinking about alpacas, okay, let's focus on the alpaca bit. Enough of the philosophy, Steve. So with the alpacas, there are things that we can do and the things that we need to do, and we know what we're doing. We understand the theory, we understand the intent, and so we're going to bring them in and we're going to do body scoring. Okay, so we know what we're doing. We're going to contain them. We're going to get them into a small enough space. Can't do it in the field. Bring them into stable. Bring them into a smaller thing. And if, ideally, you can get them into a catch pen. So that's going to be sort of a 6 foot, 8 foot square catch pen, four hurdles linked together, 4 foot high, because the smaller sheep hurdles, they're not going to keep. If they get upset and decide they want to be somewhere else, they'll go under or over or whatever. They'll take them out. And you've lost your containment. So larger hurdles are better. Four alpaca hurdles, about 4 foot high, and either 6 foot or 8 foot square, you can create with four of those. Interlock very easily, can be undone. It creates a hinge and a gate effect, so you can move them in and out. And this is a useful tool. This gives you some control of the situation, of the thing you're trying to do. And I use the helper, handling helper strap, which is got the brass links, very quick clicks in place, and it's a short strap, so it's not going to tangle into their feet or their legs. It's not going to overly freak them out, but it is going to enable me to take hold of and just be able to control the head and neck a bit more. And easy to take off again as well. So all of those things are useful tools. They're my two favourites. The catch pen and the handling helper. Beyond that, don't try and do too much. Plan what you're trying to do and have enough time to do it so you're not rushed. Have them coming in the right place, have the gates open and closed in the right place, all those preparation things. I regularly talk about those. Do you know why I talk about them so much? It's because I've always learnt by making mistakes. You do tend to remember. When you make a big mistake, you make strong memories. And those things are really important to improve the way we do things, to learn from what happened last time and remember those things. Because the alpacas remember. If there's a challenge, if there's a situation where they were uncomfortable, unhappy, stressed, they're going to remember that. And the next time you try and do that kind of thing, moving down into the stable, moving, closing shutters. They're starting to get stressed. So you need to move and act quickly, not in a rush, at appropriate speed, but quickly. Get it over and done with. But do the work that needs to be done. Also be ready to step back and say, okay, we'll leave that one for another day. So I've currently got five red coats. I can see them all, and it's really helpful. I can't now. There's five of them. I've got to work harder. Turn your head this way. I just need to see who you are. Oh, that's you that sat down. Okay, and Amelia has sat down. We had a little incident with Ellie. She had a little digestive thing again, where she was sat down. Don't want to eat. She was over by herself, the far side of the lake. She did come round, and. She kind of toyed with her food a little bit, just a few little mouthfuls. I did put some peas out after the others had moved off a bit, so there wasn't a mad scrum for these dried peas. And she really liked those. And then later on, I saw her repositioning herself. The rest of the girls were out on the bankside up near where we used to have the chicken coop. Do you know, that was just a sensible place to put it because it was higher, flatter, nearer the house. But actually, it was a place that the alpacas really enjoyed. They used to regularly, they would cushion and sleep around the area where the chicken coop was. It's such a good way to protect the chickens. Most of them were up on the slope up there. They got a good view from up there, a bit higher. They got a good view to see what's going on. And Ellie, she took herself into the stable and sat round, and she went up and sat near the wall. I think that helps the airflow so that she's not in a draft. Can't control which way the wind's coming from, but maybe shut the window shutters or where that's appropriate or whatever. But she managed to put herself in a position where she was cushed down, she was comfortable, but she also had a coat on, so I put a coat on her as an extra. She gets this thing now and again. I don't know what she eats, but it seems to cause a little bit of bloat or a little bit of something, digestive discomfort. It wasn't so extreme this time, which is good. but she obviously wasn't right and she wasn't eating as normal. Just looking at it, at her here at the moment in the sun, she's got really long eyelashes at the moment, which is some eyelashes at the front above. It's kind of from the eyebrows really, rather than the eyelashes, but they're kind of spiky, longer, stiffer, that come out over the eyes, particularly at the front. And they're just really protective for, they're going to get triggered as being close to something, so they protect the eyes, you know, where you are, where your eyes are in relation to vegetation, etc. So her coat's a little bit skew-whiff today. I've been straightening coats this week. They don't like it. Hermione's much more resigned to it now. Rosalind, her coat, well, it's kind of loose. It rides forward, and then, but she really doesn't like repositioning it. I think she's probably okay-ish to me to probably take the coat off the next day or so, depending on what the weather's doing. So, but today is just a glorious day. Birds are singing, sun is out, and the girls have been gathering in this side of the valley where it's closer to where I am, where I'm going to feed them, sure. So they've got their little routines, and I need to work with that. But also, they have been enjoying the afternoon sun. And one of them was lying in the sun up next to the fence, fast asleep. You can tell when an alpaca is fast asleep. Well, they close their eyes, well, they sometimes do that. They're a bit like cats. They close their eyes, but they sleep with their ears open. So you can hear the ears. No, you can't hear the ears. You can hear sounds and then see the ears kind of twitching and moving, and they're just alert, but in a resting condition. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? So the sleeping was going on, head down, it kind of not flat on the ground. It's got an arch to the neck, and it's just a little touch of the chin onto the ground. And that's how they sleep, but with their eyes closed. They'll sit comfortably, cush, so legs tucked under them, but head and neck erect. And they're just resting then. It's not quite sleeping. They'll kind of doze off a little bit, but essentially they're not sleeping when they're in that position. And often that's how they'll sit when they're chewing the cud, and you see the little movement in the abdomen, in the flank, and then it'll bounce up and it'll bring up the little bolus of food, which they're going to chew and then swallow down again. So that's the chewing the cud. And currently they're grazing and waiting for me to deliver the afternoon treat of the food. So we'll do that in a minute. But so these things that we can control, things that we can't, that's life. That's how we have to do these things, have to manage these things. But we can be prepared for the likely events that will happen, but we're still going to get caught out by extreme events. One of the things that, particularly in relation to handling, when you're learning to do things, when you're practicing doing things, when you just want to review how you're doing, that review thing is really a lot easier. You can see things, notice things a lot more. If you record yourself, so often we've got a camera, the audio itself is going to tell you something, but it's not a lot. But if you can put the camera somewhere, I've got a little, it's a little flexible stand. Stand sounds like the wrong kind of word because it's so flexible. You can kind of, the bendy legs to this stand for the camera, and it wraps around fences and that kind of thing. So you can actually put the camera somewhere, set it going, and go off and do your thing in line with the camera, of course. And then you've got something that you can watch back. How did I do? What was I doing? What was the what was going on with the animals? How were they responding to what I was doing and the way I was approaching it? And sometimes you'll see something, you'll notice something that's extra that you haven't picked up on otherwise. So that's a really good thing to be capturing you in action, doing your thing, and then reviewing that and just seeing what can I learn from that? What's the extra there? So that's an extra little bit of developing your skills and gaining some confidence, and that the likelihood is that most of what you see there is going to be okay. It's going to be good. It's going to be the right thing. But there'll be an occasional thing, if I'd used the other hand at that point, that would have worked better. Or if I hadn't rushed there, or I should have taken notice that this was in position. I've noticed of late, they really don't like scraping. Usually I brush. I occasionally will use the shovel to scrape things into a pile. They don't like that. It's a bit like fingernails on a chalkboard, I think. Not that there's that many of those chalkboards around anymore. But that thing that just sets your teeth on edge, oh, yes, you can feel that sound. Don't like that sound. They react in the same way. Oh, you can see them picking up their toes and their feet. They don't like things scraping on the ground. Whether they feel the vibrations, I don't know, maybe coming through the concrete, but they just don't like the scrape. They feel a little bit exposed, a little bit vulnerable. Shaking of bags, when you've emptied a food bag and you're going to, you know, if you give it a shake to straighten it out and think, that sudden movement and that sudden sound, they're not so keen on that. So a nice, definite, gentle fold is much preferred, thank you very much. So there's some bits and pieces like that, things that we can do, that we can control, which then have an impact on what's going on around us. And calm alpacas is what we're aiming for, happy and healthy alpacas. And we want to be able to be fulfilled and confident owners. So those things that we can control, let's work with those and let's develop and grow those skills. And those things that are outside of our control, let's prepare for them. Let's be ahead of the game where we can. Fences, gates, etc., etc., all the usual stuff. And then, yeah, see if you can find a day like today. I hope you can find one where you can spend some time with your alpacas, get out in the sun, spend some time around your alpacas and breathe. Thank you. See you again soon. Take care. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.